He didn't call him by his correct name. That is
Traffic Cone?
Stanley Cup champion.
Oh, dude, shut up.
Jeff Schultz.
He didn't do jack for freaking Stanley Cup. He played, what, a handful of games for Los Angeles and happened to be sitting up in the press box just in case someone got hurt. Stanley Cup champ, my ass.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod!
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, CapsHill.com, and TuneIn Radio. Joining me, as always, we got my buddy, Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm doing good. The Capitals, they're looking somewhat okay, I'd have to say, right now. They're on a bit of a winning streak, given the fact that it was three games in a row that they're coming away with W's. I didn't see a lot of the Chicago game, but from what a lot of people told me, at least what I read on Twitter as well, is that that was when they looked the worst, but somehow still came out with a win. I watched the Carolina and the Columbus game, and I was impressed on both games. I feel as if this team is still getting used to Barry Trotz. I mean, we are only in mid-November, but for the most part, I think they're starting to gel. And the big thing is the pucks are finally starting to float their way. I mean, it seems as if they've had a lot of bad bounces in the past, and they're getting kind of lucky now.
Yeah, I mean, luck is definitely part of the equation, but it's also it seems like they're playing a little better to some extent. And if you go and you look at the Carolina game, they looked like, I mean, I was at that game. I was there with friends of mine, and my brother and my sister were there, and it was an interesting game because it was like, you know, they had complete control, but a lot of it was just Carolina sucks. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean. They're just not very good this season. And it was like they played very out of sync with one another. There's a lot of passes that were, you know, right behind guys or too far in front of guys. And I feel like at one point, maybe this was in the Columbus game, but at one point they had like five icing infractions in the span of like, I don't know, 6 minutes. Like, it was just kind of ridiculous where everything was just like a little off. So it still seems like they're getting used to maybe not necessarily Trotz, but just one another and where each one of them is expected to be at in a given moment on the ice. So there's still room to work. There's a lot of room to work, but there is definitely the possibility that this team could be very dangerous once things start clicking. Some of the problems with that is that, you know, players are hurt and they're not sure where guys are going to line up, and, you know, having players on lines that should not necessarily be there. And so it'll be interesting to see when these guys are finally healthy, if they're ever healthy, and if they actually ever get all on the same page and get this thing rolling, because then it could be very, or at least, you know, could be quite exciting to see.
Yeah, and let's talk about that, the fact that we saw Tom Wilson playing with the top line. He was out there with Backe, with Ovi. Last week we talked about it, how impressed we all were with how this kid is doing and how great he's doing as being a top six guy. And he got hurt over the weekend.
Of course he did.
Yeah, because he's doing so well. I was afraid it was his ankle again, but apparently it's just like a muscle sprain or something like that.
That's what it looked like. What was it, the Carolina game?
Yeah.
It didn't look like, I didn't even see it when I was up. I mean, I was up way in the nosebleeds, but I didn't even see it. But, you know, I went and I saw, I think Russian Machine or somebody put up an image of him when he got hurt, and it looked like he just sort of pulled a muscle or something. Like, he didn't go down. Like, if I feel like it was ankle, he would have gone down in a ton of pain, and it didn't appear to be the case. So my guess is that it was just something like a muscle pull, and that he'll be back.
Yeah, and they're even saying that he could be back this weekend, maybe on Saturday's game. And we'll see. We'll see what happens. But taking his place is a guy who a lot of people couldn't believe Adam Oates was putting him with Ovechkin. But we saw Jay Beagle up on that first line. And judging from the Columbus game, I mean, yes, it was Columbus. But I got to say, he fared very well with those two. He really is playing exceptional hockey. And he's working well with Ovi and Backstrom.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in regards to Beagle, he definitely has been. He looked interesting. I think I can't remember which goal. It was Ovechkin's second goal. Where was it, the second one where they made that nice passing and it was like Backstrom made a ridiculous pass? Was it like a no look?
It was a no-look backhand pass to Beagle, who's skating up, and then backhands it to Ovi, who shoots it off and gets the goal.
Yeah, I mean, that was a nice play. Definitely, it was one of those things that you could see this team doing once they all get on the same page and those kind of goals coming back. Sort of back in the days where, you know, they were scoring four or five, even potentially six goals a night back in the early Boudreaux days. So it'll be nice to see once they get back to that point. But Beagle, you know, it sort of confused me to some extent when they put him on the first line. I know a lot of people are like, what the hell is Trotz doing putting him up there? But it does make some sense. I mean, logically, you would think, okay, so let's say the right wing goes down on that line, being Tom Wilson. You bump up the right wing from the second line, and then bump up the right wing from the third line, and then fourth line gets bumped up, and then some guy comes in to play on the fourth line. But then it's, you know, you're messing up every single line and messing with the chemistry. So to some extent, it makes sense to bump in an extra guy that has a similar game, although not nearly as offensively as talented, but probably better defensively than Tom Wilson in Jay Beagle. You know, he's out there. So all you really, I mean, if you're on a line with Ovechkin at backstrom, all you really do is got to do is be, you know, in the right place at the right time and crash in the net. So, you know, Beagle's done well. The other line's kept staying in sync by not moving too many people around. I know a lot of people were confused that Kuznetsov didn't get that opportunity, me being one of them. But apparently Trotz sees him as more of a center than a winger, and that Kuznetsov, he thinks his game is better suited to be a center sort of in the middle, playing better defensively than sort of digging for pucks in the corners, which I agree with to some extent. I mean, you can see a guy like a Chimera or Ward, these guys going into the corners and digging out and fighting for pucks. I think that's better suited to their game and their body size and their shape. You know, they're bigger guys, so yeah, they have a better chance of fighting for the puck in the corners than a guy like Kuznetsov, who, you know, he's not like a tiny guy or anything, but he's going to get knocked out of the way by any of these big wingers. So I think, you know, it makes sense. It's kind of weird seeing him on the fourth line still, considering, I mean, I got to wonder how many points he might have if he had better offensive line mates. And that's not a shot at O'Brien or Lotta or Beagle when he's up there or whoever's on the fourth line. It's just the reality of the situation. These guys are not offensively talented players. They're defensive-minded guys, and they're checking guys, so they're not going to get a lot of goals. But I think in time, Kuznetsov will find himself, you know, on the third line. I can't remember. It might have been Trotz that said in an interview or something that, or McLellan, or someone said something along the lines that the Caps are looking at their, you know, top three centers being Backstrom, Burakovsky, and then Kuznetsov. So I think in the future we'll see Kuznetsov centering a third line, whether it's between, you know, Ward and Chimera, whoever. I don't know if they even want to mess with that line right now with the way they're playing with Eric Fehr in the middle. I mean, it's, you know, they're doing very well. And Fehr had that ridiculous goal in the Carolina game. Yeah. Or was it the Carolina game?
I think it was Carolina.
Yeah, the like breakaway and he's tucked it around was it Khudobin? I thought that was a ridiculously nice goal.
Yeah, and Eric Fehr seems like the type of guy who, if he's forced to go up to the press box or something, like we've seen him already this season, he comes out guns blazing the next time. So maybe he's one of those guys that needs that motivation. You were talking about Kuznetsov. I want to go back to him real quick. Do you think that his the fact that he was wearing a suit on Friday night up against the Blackhawks, do you think that is Barry Trotz's way of telling him to kind of shape up, or is it just kind of like, you know, they wanted to give Brooks like a try on the ice since he was coming back.
Since he's made out of glass?
Yeah. Or is it just too many offensive guys, or was that like a Kuznetsov, you gotta pay attention type of thing?
No. I mean, Trotz even came out and said it was more of a thing. I think Kuznetsov at first thought it might have been that, but Trotz came out, I guess he talked to him beforehand, but he also came out after that game and said he wanted Kuznetsov to learn a little bit more about the game from the press box and just sort of watching the game as opposed to being involved in it. So it wasn't sort of a what's what I'm looking for here? It wasn't anything because he had done anything wrong. It's just he's still adapting to playing in North America. He's still adapting to playing in the NHL, and they wanted him to learn from above and to watch the game from the press box. So it wasn't anything where he was in trouble. It wasn't a disciplinary thing. It was just a matter of his progression as a hockey player in the NHL. I mean, Kuznetsov's the one that came out and said, and we saw this through Russian Machine Never Breaks, he came out and said that nothing from the KHL has helped him to play in the NHL. He said it's a completely different game. It's a very difficult league. Obviously, it's the best league in the world. I think it's a lot more physical, and so he's still learning. You know, even though he's been playing as a technical professional in the KHL, it doesn't mean he's a professional here necessarily in the NHL. He's still learning about the game, and so it wasn't all disciplinary. It seems like Trotz loves the guy. He's only come out and said good things, but he completely understands that he is not as far along offensively as I think the fans are expecting and that we're hoping, and that, you know, he's not the kind of guy who's going to go out there and score 20 goals necessarily in his rookie year. He has a little bit more work to do, but I think he's coming along just fine, and I think he's going to be a very talented player for this team both, you know, in this season, potentially towards the end of the season, depending on his progression and as we go on in future seasons.
Yeah, you know, I saw that Russian Machine article as well, and I love the fact that he came out. I thought it was very weird that he said, coming from the KHL to the NHL, it's a completely different world. You can't compare.
The KHL's probably pissed.
Yeah, well, like he even said, you can't compare the two. They're two different styles of hockey. It's really crazy. So hopefully he does adapt a little bit. I feel as if having off that Friday night has helped him. He's looked good in the last two games. But let's talk about the guy that he was sitting, and Brooks like got a jersey on Friday night, but then he re-injured himself. What do you think's going on with Brooks? I mean, I know he doesn't want
to. Dude, he's made out of glass.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be injured. Yeah, he doesn't want to be injured. I know this has got to be frustrating for him, but God, think about this guy. I mean, I'm saying this as a fan of this team. Is he becoming a
liability?
Yeah, like not a liability. Yeah, a liability to this team more than he is an asset, because when he's healthy, he's a major asset. But if he's playing a game, getting hurt, coming back, saying, no, I'm fine, and then getting hurt again, I got to think that is messing with what Trotz is trying to do with these lines and getting these lines to gel. Because if you have this guy just kind of being like, guys, I'm fine again, and then getting hurt a game later and leaving, it's got to affect the way the lines are lined up, because you're fitting him in. Is he a liability at this point, since he hasn't been healthy since before the lockout?
I wouldn't put him as a liability, and I only say that because it's not his call. In the end, it's going to be the doctor's call, or the medical staff, or whoever. It's going to be their call to say, yes, this guy is physically sound enough to play hockey, and then, you know, he's got to come out and agree to some extent and be like, yeah, I think I'm ready, because I think in the end it's the player who's going to come out and say, yes, I feel good enough to play hockey today, or whatever. So I don't think he's a liability. I think they're being able to cover for him. I know that people have talked about the fact that his team's record is better with him in the lineup than without this season. Some of that could be, it's factual, but it doesn't necessarily make it the correct reason that the team, you know, it's not like it's necessarily the reason that they've done better when he's the lineup. He's just one player out of a full team. So I think that having him in the lineup is definitely better. I don't think it's necessarily hurt the team from gelling in terms of the lines. I think when he comes back in, he fits in on that third line center spot. And then we may see, I mean, where do you put Fair then? I think you can see Fair going with Kuznetsov in either Lotta or... No, I'm sorry. I don't know how the hell they're going to line up, to be honest. Once Wilson and Likes back, I don't know. Maybe O'Brien and Lotta sit, and then you have a fourth line of like Fair, Kuznetsov, and Beagle. That'd be interesting.
That would be interesting.
It's not... I mean, it's kind of a weird line. Like, you have no offense for... pretty much no offense for Beagle, and then Kuznetsov and Fair on a line together would be really interesting. That'd be fun to watch. Anyways, sorry. Off tangent. But, you know, I think Likes a good player for this team, but I think... The injury situation is a result of him. He's not a liability, and it's not his fault. It's a lot of just bad luck. It's not like he's going out there and he's skateboarding around during the summer, Tom Wilson. It's not like he's out there, you know, he's getting injured playing basketball or doing something. The guy's doing what he has to do to come back. He's doing what as far as we know, he's doing what the doctors have told him, the medical staff has told him. He's got bad luck as of late, and it's, you know, you're hoping he stays healthy, and, you know, maybe they had him come back too quick last time. We don't really know. But hopefully soon enough he can sort of stay healthy. But it may be one of those things where at some point they're going to have to look at it and go, you know what, he ends up costing too much money, we can't hang on to him, we have to let him go. I don't think you can necessarily move him to trade right now. Or if you do, you're not going to get much for him just because he can't stay healthy, and teams aren't going to look to give up anybody that's of any real value for a player that can't stay healthy. Even teams that may be looking to build, like, you know, that want that veteran leader that can bring the leadership to the team. It's still a risk considering the fact that the guy can't stay healthy, but he's got, if this website will load, come on, Cap Geek, there we go. He's got, looks like, 2 more years left on his contract, so I still have plenty of time to hang on to him. He's got $4.5 million cap hit, so it's going to be tough to move a guy that can't stay healthy with that kind of cap hit. If that was the case, I'm not technically advocating to move Brooks Like. I think if he's healthy, you put him on a line with Ward. And Ward's out of a contract after the season. That could be interesting. You put him on a line with Joel Ward and Jason Chimera, and you have a very talented third line. But can he stay healthy?
Yeah, that's the big thing you got to question right now. I think, like you were saying at the beginning here, Brooks Like, he definitely does add to this team. He is a very talented player. But I'm just worried after a while, like, he's going to come in and be like, hey, I'm fine, everybody. Everything's great. And then 2 games later, there he goes again. He's hurt once again. I mean, it's the same thing we went through with Mike Green a couple seasons ago. It is bad luck.
It's not like he's doing – it's just – I feel bad because it's not like it's his fault.
Yeah,
you know, he's absolutely not Albert Haynesworth who gets hurt because he's – freaking idiot, and he does something stupid off the field or something like that. Thanks, Dan Snyder, for that signing. But it's, you know, it's just a guy. He's out there and he's trying to do everything the right way, and it's just. He's got bad luck, man. I feel bad.
Yeah.
Because I love to keep him on the team, but at some point they're going to have to decide if it makes sense or if they, you know, because if you move him out, you have to bring in someone of at least relative equal value in terms of his skill set, because otherwise you're sort of taking a step back. Or are you really, because he's never in the lineup?
Yeah, that's the thing I'm wondering about, because obviously, like, you're not going to trade him away because you're like, oh, this guy's talented. Let's get rid of him. They're really going to have to look at, you know, with the amount that we pay him, is he on the ice enough? And luckily enough for you,
no, not for $4.5
million. Lucky,
he's the third most expensive forward on this team right now.
Yeah, and look at how much he has played in the last few seasons. He's barely in this team. Luckily enough for you and I, we're just podcasters, and we don't own this team, and we don't have to make those kind of choices. But, I mean, I've got to be thinking right now, if you are in the front office, you are looking at this guy going, look how much money we're putting on him, and he can't deliver just because he has such bad luck that he's always hurt. But yeah, and like you said, it's not his fault. I hope he does do well. I hope he doesn't have another injury after this one this season, but it just seems like it's so crazy that he is continuously hurt. I mean, it's been what, 2-3 years now, and he hasn't played anywhere close to a full season.
Well, I think the fact that they didn't use their second amnesty buyout or whatever the hell they called it, because they used the first one on Jeff Schultz. The fact that they didn't use their second one on Brooks, like, I think tells you that the organization, both, I mean, the coaching staff at that time, well, no, wasn't it? They had the opportunity this past summer, right? Yeah. So they, wait. Yeah, I think it was this past summer they had the opportunity to use their second one. They didn't use it on him, so I think that these Trotz and McClellan both view him as a guy for this team. So I think they like him, but at some point it's going to come down to a business decision.
Yeah.
Do you use that money? Because you only have so much you're allowed to spend in the NHL because of the salary cap. Do you continue to have that cap hit, or do you move him out? You may have to still eat some of that cap hit, or, you know, but do you move him out to bring in someone else that can do the job? And it's interesting because I've noticed Eric Fehr is a free agent, unrestricted free agent after the season. So once the season's over, it's like July 1st or whatever, he's potentially gone. So they got to think at some point during the season, can Eric Fehr be the guy to fill him on the third line center spot, which would enable them to potentially look to move Brooks Like. Now, that doesn't mean you can move Brooks Like. Another team has to agree to that trade. You can't just go to a team and say, hey, take him. You know, you got to have someone agree to take him on your team. So do they have someone in-house? Do they see that they could trade for someone or pick someone up in free agency that can take on the spot of Brooks Like for a cheaper rate? So it'll be interesting to see what they decide to do with Like as the season goes on if he can't stay healthy. Now, if he has a run of 10, 20, 30 games where he's healthy and consistently playing well, you know, I think we've got our answer there, and they're going to hang on to him. But, you know, it's going to be – he's got to stay healthy. Otherwise, that cap hit, it's just – as much as I like the guy, you know, I have it, the T-shirt with his name on the back. I love having him on the team. I think he's great for this team. The injuries, just at some point, it comes down to a business decision, and it's what – it is. It's sports. It's what have you done for me lately. It's the reality of sports.
Yeah, and that's what that's why we don't work in the NHL is this type of thing, because that's too hard of a decision to make, at least for me. But yeah, let's go back. Let's talk about these games. It is a winning streak. I've been impressed with how these guys have looked this past weekend. So. I mean, of course, there are some things that they could probably work on, but there is one guy I do want to bring up, and they brought up this is kind of funny. They brought it up in the broadcast last night, and they were talking about how the fact that Jack Hillen once again was a healthy scratch that was in the press box.
I love that they always mention him. Like, guys, I don't think he's going to play anytime soon.
But they're like, hey, look, when you got a guy like Nate Schmidt playing as well as he is, it makes it kind of hard for the coach to go, yeah, why don't we give Jack Hillen a try at this point? Because let's talk about Nate Schmidt right now, man. I mean, the guy's doing great. He impressed last season, and he's really showing what he can do this season. And I think it was even last week you were like, what are they going to do when Dmitry Orlov comes back? And I was like,
what are they going to do?
I completely forgot about Orlov, and that's because Schmidt is playing so well. I mean, Schmidt's looking like a full-fledged NHLer right now. The dude is playing great.
I mean, Schmidt has looked very solid. He's had a few moments here and there, but so has everybody on this team defensively at this point. But yeah, I mean, he's looked good. He's looked like he's a guy who belongs in the NHL. It's definitely gonna be a tough decision as to what they're gonna do when Orlov comes back. I was talking on Twitter yesterday with Caps Yap, who's a fun guy to talk to on Twitter about the Capitals, and he's also an Orioles fan. we were talking about, he raised the question as to whether, you know, has Schmidt been the one that's kept Hillen off the ice? Will he also keep Orlov off the ice? As of right now, I say yes. I do think that some point during the season, they're going to have Orlov if he can come back healthy. And it looks like he's on his way. I don't know if he's going to be anytime soon, but he's on his way to coming back. But I do think that they're going to have a chance where they're going to rotate Orlov and Schmidt and see how each one of them is doing. And I think the interesting thing to note is that Mike Green is going to be a free agent after this season. I don't think it's going to come to this point. I think they're going to hang on to him unless they get a really good trade offer at some point during the season. But, you know, is it an opportunity where they want to try out Orlov and Schmidt as potentially their third pairing going into next season, and they want to free up that cap space from Mike Green by letting him go or trading him away? And I'm not necessarily advocating for that, but I do think if Orlov and Schmidt show that they can be a solid third pairing in the NHL and they're not going to cause this team to have any major problems, you could see someone like Mike Green getting traded away.
Wow, that's crazy to even think Mike Green going away. And
He's a free agent after the season, so it's definitely possible.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see what happens down the road. But it's hard to imagine Mike Green going away, even though a lot of people were calling for him to get traded last season. The dude has been pretty solid this year. So
He has been. And the thing – how do I put this? Who is he paired with right now? Because I keep switching out. Is he still paired with Niskanen, or are they putting Alzner with Niskanen, right?
Yeah, usually it's Alzner and Niskanen. So usually it's Schmidt, so Green's and Green. Schmidt. Yeah.
So you think about that. It's, okay, so – Mike Green makes the most money of the defensemen on the team with a little over $6 million in his cap hit. That's $6 million for a third-pairing defenseman. Now, it's not necessarily a big deal if you're rotating all of your guys and they're getting more or less the same minutes. Then I don't think it's as big of a deal, especially if your defense is playing solid, which they are for the most part. But if you're getting Green's at $6 million, Niskanen's at $5.75, Orpik is at $5.5, Carlson's at just under $4, Alzner is at $2.8, and Orlov is at $2 million, you're going to have to find some way to free up some cap space, because there's a certain goaltender you have to re-sign in the offseason, and that is your number one goaltender, Brayden Holtby. So they got to find somewhere to free up some cap space. Now, Erskine and Hillen are both unrestricted after the season. Schmidt is a restricted free agent, so he's probably going to get a nice raise. If you want to re-sign Joel Ward, Eric Fair, Jay Beagle, Evgeny Kuznetsov is out of a contract after the season.
Oh, wow.
As is Marcus Johansson. Oh. So you've got a lot of guys you've got to resign. Johansson, by the way, we'll talk about in a minute, because he's doing phenomenal this season. He's had a couple – beginning of the season, he was struggling a little bit in terms of being able to actually hit the puck with the hockey stick. But he's been doing great lately. He's been playing much better. I know I have been advocating for him to get traded, and I may be backing off on that. But it's – you know, you've got a lot of cap space that you're going to need to free up, and it's going to be an interesting decision to see what they decide to do with a guy like a Brooks Like and a Mike Green.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting, but I'm glad you brought up Johansson. That was the next guy I was going to talk about. What a season this guy has had so far. It has been night and day of what we saw last year, and it is crazy. And he's definitely somebody who fits into the Barry Trotz system, because he's doing such a good job. And one of my favorite things, I texted you last night during the intermission for one of the games. They were interviewing him, and they said, "What is the big difference between you getting goals this year and you last year?" And he goes, "Well, this year a lot of the pucks are going into the net." So
he's such a smart ass.
Yeah. So really great interview there, Chief. And that is the biggest difference I got to say about him not getting goals last year and getting goals this year is that this year they're going into the net. So that's a great great thing to say there. But yeah, you were talking about wanting to trade him, moving him out. I mean I was with you last year, but for whatever reason, this guy is really blowing up this year. He's really come into his own.
Johansson has been playing great. I can't remember where it was that I saw this, but they were talking about how, oh, you know what it was? It was John Walton was talking with Chad Dukes on 106.7 The Fan, and they were talking about how Johansson's playing better because he's sort of the focus on that second line. Last season, he was told a lot of his time was, you're on the ice with Backstrom, Ovechkin, pass the puck. Find Ovechkin, pass him the puck, and everything will be fine because he's going to do what he does best. This season, he's on there with Brouwer, who's a checking guy. He's going to crash the net. And he's on there with Burakovsky, who's a setup man. So a lot of it, he's been asked to shoot the puck more, and he wasn't doing it at first. But now that he's doing it, he's doing a lot better. And if I have it correctly, he is tied with Ovechkin for the team leading goals. So if he can keep doing that, he's a great player. He's also going to be a lot more expensive in the offseason because they have to re-sign him. But he's a guy that's been doing exceptionally well, and they may end up deciding to hang on to, and Trotz may be the best thing for him because he's put Johansson as the focus of the goal scoring on that second line. And one of the best things I've seen from him this season, and he started doing it last season somewhat, but he's been doing a lot this season, is that he's going to the net more. He's not taking shots necessarily from the outside. He's going to the net a lot more. He's still trying that wraparound, which never works. It's like him and Backstrom and Burakovsky, to some extent, are always trying. Not always, but they're trying it. I can't remember the last time it actually worked.
Is it a Swedish thing?
Wait, no, I just think it's a thing where you're like, the goaltender may not be there yet, and you're like, all right, I'll give it a shot and see if it works. And then, you know, they just give it a shot. It's, if it doesn't work, sometimes they can get it in front of the net, you know, if someone else is there crashing to put the puck in. But I think Johansson has focused more on his offensive style of his game in terms of shooting. I think it's been great for him. I think putting him on the wing has definitely helped him out. You know, I know he came into the league as a center, but I think it turns out that the guys were right about him being put on the wing and being better for him. And I think if that line has been doing great, Burakovsky's, you know, he had a little bit of a lull about a week ago, maybe a little more than a week ago, but he started to pick things back up between him, Johansson, and Brower. I think it's a very solid second line. And it made complete sense that when Wilson went down, they didn't break that line up in terms of putting Brower or Johansson on the first line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, way to go, Johansson. Keep it up. Let's see even more from this guy. Before we leave Caps World, let's talk about one more thing. Nick Backstrom, he's the only guy to get a medal from the Capitals in the last Sochi games. But, of course, everybody knows that he missed the gold medal game because he tested positive for a certain drug, which really we found out was allergy medicine. And now they're talking about possibly taking away his medal again. What is the whole story here? Because I don't fully understand it.
All right, so from what I understand, and that's not necessarily mean it's reality, the anti-doping agency has come now. So Backstrom was tested positive for taking, what was it, like Claritin?
Yeah, it was like
Claritin. Or something, or like a generic drug that I can go drive to CVS or Rite Aid and pick it up and pay, you know, a ridiculous amount of money, but still pick it up and bring it home if I have allergies or whatever it is for. So he gets in trouble even though he's taken it for 7 years. Where Bill Daly, vice executive president of the NHL or some nonsense like that, the biggest douche from the whole lockout besides Bettman, he came out and said, yeah, we have no problem with what happened except for the fact that Backstrom's getting screwed. And he didn't use those words specifically, but he basically said the NHL has absolutely no problem with what he's done. He's not violating any of our rules. But in the Olympics, apparently that, or the IOC, whatever the hell it's called, he was violating their terms, and they told him hours before the gold medal game that he was not allowed to play. Which I'm sure was great for Sweden, losing one of their top players hours before the game. That was awesome. All right, so after, a couple of months or a couple of weeks, they decided, okay, he actually deserves a silver medal, and they gave it to him. Now the anti-doping agency has come out and said, you know what, we don't think that's necessarily the case. They are filing an appeal to have his silver medal taken away.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me, because if you go through this whole thing, and the whole thing is fishy even to begin with, because they're like, a couple hours before the game, they decide that, because he tested positive for it like 3 days before this game happened. So they waited that long to say, yeah, you can't play, which makes no sense. Then after a while, they're like, all right, well, we decided you can have the medal because you participated in games before the gold medal game, blah, 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 blah. And now they're going to try to say, oh, you can't have it because you did test positive for it. It makes no sense. These guys are going back and forth. I'm sure Backstrom doesn't even want to think about this anymore, because even when they invited him to Worlds, he was just like, I'm not going to Worlds. I'm not playing.
Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not doing that. Look what you guys did to me at the Olympics. It makes no sense. So I'm hoping he gets to keep the medal. I hope nothing comes of this, because really he's getting screwed over at this point.
Yeah, leave them the hell. It's a World Anti-Doping Agency. Hey, leave Backstrom the hell alone, okay? You guys already screwed him over. I mean, I know it's the Olympic Committee, but you guys already screwed him over in regards to the Olympics. You screwed over Sweden in regards to the Olympics and their opportunity to actually play for a gold medal instead of taking one of their best players away hours before the game. It wasn't like they knew about this before the freaking Olympics started. Hours before the game, they had to change. I don't know if they changed their whole plan, but they had changed their lineup to some extent. So it was ridiculous. And now you're coming out and going after him again? Leave him alone. It's over. It's not like he went out and he was shooting up, I don't know, what do you shoot up, cocaine or whatever the hell it is?
Heroin.
I don't know. But, you know, you watch Breaking Bad, don't you know? Yeah. But, you know, it's ridiculous. Just leave him alone. He wasn't going out and trying to cheat. He was trying to not be on the ice sneezing. Leave him alone.
Yeah, crazy. I hope they just let him have the medal. I mean, come on. Like, it's over. Figure it, like, just.
It was Zyrtec D. Is that the commercial with the B on it? It's no. Like Antonio Banderas. I don't know.
No, that B is Nasonex.
Damn it. Whatever.
Zyrtec, I don't know what it is.
These guys are a bunch of morons.
Yeah, I mean, and they're saying he tested positive for something, but like, was this drug not approved beforehand? Like, there's a whole lot of factors. It's very mismanaged. It doesn't make any sense, and they should just leave it alone. And because it's not like he even got to stand and get to hear his national anthem. They gave it to him at like a charity event he was having in Sweden in the off season.
They're like, here you go, buddy.
Yeah, here's that medal that we told you about. Yeah, and that was it. So, I mean, it doesn't make any sense you're bringing this up again. So, hopefully that's it for that noise, and hopefully he gets to keep his medal and everything's fine. Anything else we should talk about before we leave Caps World?
No, I think that's pretty much it.
All right, very cool. So, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to go down on the farm, but before we do that, let's get a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the Puck? What the Puck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
All right, everybody, here we go. We are down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears, and we are talking South Carolina Stingrays. Now, let's see what we're going to call you now. Bacon Boy Dan. How's it going down on the farm?
What?
Bacon Boy Dan.
No, I like bacon, but no, that's just weird. Anyways, in the past week, Hershey went 1-1-1 with a win over Hartford. Also suffered a regulation loss to Hartford, as well as an overtime loss to Wilkes-Barre Scranton. The Bears currently sit at 7-5-1, putting them second in East Division with 15 points. Now, South Carolina went 1-2 with a win over Greenville, but losses to Florida and Gwinnett. The Stingrays currently sit at 3-5-3, putting them at 6th in the East Division with 9 points. Hey, that'll be easier to remember. They're both in East Divisions.
There you go.
So they're not in the same division as the Reading Royals. So that would be interesting to see in the future. But yeah, no, it looks like South Carolina's got to pick it up a little bit, but it's still very early in the ECHL season. In player news, defenseman Michael Shukovsky, I have no idea if I said that correctly, was recalled to Hershey over the weekend. He posted 1 goal and 3 assists after being sent down by Hershey in early October. That is what is going on down on the farm.
You know, I should bring this up right before we leave down on the farm.
Is it a Jersey thing?
You know me too well, Coach.
No, God.
I was getting some of my Christmas clothes ready. I do have some Christmas themed T-shirts and
here we go.
Everything. I bought a Reading Royals ugly Christmas sweater T-shirt last year, and I don't know what to do with it now because like I could still wear it, but like they're not in the Caps organization.
Now they're the Flyers.
Yeah, now they're with the Flyers. So I really don't know what to do with this T-shirt. But, yeah, Reading Royals, man, you're breaking my heart leaving so quickly. I mean, that was a cool T-shirt. It was Stingrays, like they're doing some stuff, but it's not as fun as the Reading Royals. The Reading Royals are, like, way out there with their jersey stuff. So, I'll figure it out later. All right. So now we're going to go around the NHL. But before we do that, here's a word from CapsHill.com.
What the Puck is available on CapsHill.com. Check out blogs and funny photos that have appeared on the NHL Network. That's CapsHill.com.
Alright, everybody, here we go. It is Wednesday night rivalry night. The Capitals luckily aren't playing, so we can record, but still, plenty of stuff going on around the NHL. So, Coach Dan, get us up to date. What's going on around the NHL?
Well, let's start with the first big trade of this season, with Dallas sending Sergei Gonchar to Montreal for forward Travis Moen. It's an interesting trade of two guys who have sort of getting on towards the end of their careers, but interesting to see Gonchar back in Canada with Montreal. Los Angeles signed unrestricted free agent defenseman Jamie McBain to a one-year contract. He previously played for Carolina and Buffalo. Now, it wouldn't be a week in the NHL without someone getting suspended, as Toronto's Carter Ashton was suspended for 20 games for violating the terms of the League and Players Association's Performance Enhancing Substances program. Now, the substance he took is called clenbuterol, which he mistakenly took while using another person's inhaler after suffering an asthma attack. So I don't really, he's kind of getting screwed over, but kind of not. But then again, he also, I don't know if his asthma attack was bad enough, he could have died.
Right.
So, you know, you're like, well, maybe case by case basis kind of thing. But whatever, I don't know. I mean, right now, Toronto's following through with, you know, they're behaving themselves in terms of not making a big fuss about it, but I wouldn't be surprised if at some point in the future they make a comment like, this is a bunch of crap. But I guess you got to be a little more careful and maybe don't use other people's inhalers, which I didn't know was a thing you should do.
Yeah.
But I guess if you're having an asthma attack, it's better than doing nothing. And finally, Montreal retired Hall of Fame defenseman Guy Lapointe's number 5 before their game against Minnesota this past Saturday. He was a member of 6 Stanley Cup teams in Montreal and is second all-time on the franchise's leading score for a defenseman. That's the past week in the NHL.
Plenty of stuff going on around the NHL and right here in Caps World, so you can continue the conversation. Coach Dan and I are both on Twitter. Make sure you tweet to us. Follow me at Brando Cash. And Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also occasionally find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals and Washington Capitals and their affiliates, Bobbleheads.
Yes,
thanks for bringing that up again.
Lots of
bobbleheads. If you ever check out anything about bobbleheads, they are a lot of fun. I think I saw that bobblehead you were talking about, the Slapshot one. Is that a bobblehead?
Yeah, yeah. I got the Pilgrim one.
The Thanksgiving one?
Yeah.
It's a little weird looking.
I got the Pilgrim. Did you see the one that's coming up for April?
No, I tried to, but I didn't know where to go.
Oh, okay. Well, they're at all the little stands. And they,
right, no, I mean, I saw the bobblehead, but I didn't see any like thing saying the next ones.
Yeah, right at the register, it's like silhouettes of all the ones coming up in every month. So
that sounds kind of creepy.
Yeah. Yeah, but I swear to you, the one in April looks like Jesus.
Next game I go to, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
But yeah, for more bobblehead news, go to the Caps stores, or you can go to CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about Brando Cash Entertainment?
So I go to BrandoCash.com. That's where you get information about this show, all the other shows, and photography and video that we do here at Brando Cash Entertainment. We also are on Facebook, Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. You get all the information you can delivered right to your news feeds. And don't forget about What the Puck's Facebook page, Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. And we are also on Twitter at WTP_podcast. So whenever a new show comes out, you guys are the first to know. Now, we have talked about this many, many, many times before. We are completely free. We do this for free. You guys stream and download it for free. And we are available on many different platforms. So make sure you check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and TuneIn Radio, as well as CapsHill.com. If you want to listen to old shows, archive shows, we got those too. Go to whatthepuckcaps.brandocash.com. You can listen to old shows, maybe from the Dale Hunter era, from the Lockout era, from the Adam Oates era, whatever you guys want to listen to. We've got some goodies there. Definitely check those out. But what we are asking you guys to do, we don't want you to pay for this. This is free entertainment for you to listen to whenever you feel like it. It is radio on demand. All we are asking in return is that you tell people about the show. All right? So be social on the web about the show. Tell everybody on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit. Let them know, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I love hockey. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So we got 3 games until we talk again. This Friday, November 14th, the Capitals will be at home, and the Devils are coming to D.C. That game is at 7 o'clock, and if you can't be there in person, it will be on Comcast Sportsnet locally here. And then on Saturday, November 15th, the Capitals will be in St. Louis up against the Blues. That game is at 8 o'clock, and that one will be on Comcast Sportsnet Plus. Don't forget that plus if you are here locally. And then on Tuesday, November 18th, the Capitals are in Arizona up against the Arizona Coyotes. That game is at 9 o'clock, and that will be on Comcast Sportsnet. No plus that time. So a little bit of a road trip for the Capitals. They have one more game next week that's also over on the West Coast. But that's going to be 3 fun games to watch. Hopefully the Capitals can keep up that winning streak. Hopefully we are talking about 6 wins in a row this time next week. And we are always going to be with the Caps, whether they're home or on the road, and we are saying, let's go, Caps!
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman, voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
All right, plenty of stuff going on. Of course, you continue. On Tuesday, November. Oh, sorry, skipped one. And then on Saturday, November. Damn it. That's my phone. Talking about
phone?
That's my phone that has that's my text it's my text message alert, and it's a line from Friends. Joey's talking about his Thanksgiving pants. And then on Saturday, November 15th, the Capitals will be in Columbus. No, it's not the Jackets, is it? It's just the Blues. I'm going to do that one more time. That game started at that game. I can't do anything at the end of the show now.
Can we take over?
Can't do anything. All right.
Just go to WashingtonCaps.com, the club calendar. No, I'm
That's what we should end the show once. Be like, dude, why do you keep saying this? Why do you end the show? They know where to go to figure this out.
Just look at your freaking Verizon or Comcast guy. Just go there.
All right.